Hello and welcome to The Real Talk with Pillow Talk Studios. My name is Sierra, and in this podcast, nothing is off limits. From my crazy life to yours, it's time to share our experiences and get into those gritty details. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to The Real Talk with Pillow Talk Studios. Today we have brand ambassador Alex here. And before we get too into it, I didn't actually know Alex was into a lot of the same things that I'm into or was into in the past. And when she came for her first shoot, it was just like our welcome day. It was really casual. We probably only maybe said like 30 words back and forth to each other. It was such a fast shoot. And then the second shoot came around, and between like our second shoot and just all of our conversations, we've really realized how similar we are. And so we're going to be talking about how we grew up on really pivotal points of the internet, and especially YouTube. So what really got you into YouTube and internet culture in general?
Well, like a lot of people, I was kind of like a loner weirdo kid, but my friends and I, my best friend and I should say, we would kind of just like hang out at my place, and we would both kind of like fall into different niches of the internet. And we were both fairly sheltered kids, so it was kind of like, ooh, it's a secret, we're gonna go on YouTube, like what are we gonna watch?
Right, yeah.
And we would just kind of click on whatever. You'd go onto YouTube's like homepage, and then 5 hours later you find yourself in the trenches and you're just like, how did we get here?
Yeah.
But that was also in 2008 or 2009, so it was fairly early on when it was like a lot of the early content creators were starting.
Yeah.
So I guess to say what really drew us in was we were very sheltered. And we were just really looking for something that was so out of the ordinary of our usual day-to-day, and just looking for people that were interesting, because we were just very, you know, run-of-the-mill, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Church kids.
Yeah, I was a church kid as well, and I feel like a lot of church kids are homeschooled or just, you know, the ones that we were the weird ones at school. Mm-hmm. We definitely clung on to onto YouTube and everything. And I remember my first time going on because I had told my cousin, I have never been on YouTube before. And she was like, what? What do you mean you've never been on YouTube before? And I was like, can we go on? And sure enough, so the YouTube homepage used to be so much different. It used to come up with like recommended videos. Mm-hmm. And it would change on the daily. If you were on the YouTube homepage, oh my God, you would get a lot of subscribers and stuff. Oh my gosh, this was back when like the Vlogbrothers, Hank and John, only had 15,000 subscribers.
This Imagine,
is what, yeah,
right?
But this is like what I remember. This is how long I've been on the internet. Mm-hmm. Or Smosh, I remember the original Pokemon theme song coming out and all of that.
Yes.
So all of these things, and you know, you would just sit there and watch these things for hours and hours, and it was just such an escape from reality, and it made me like want to post videos on YouTube as well. So when I was, oh my gosh, I guess I was 14, I went on a youth group trip, actually.
As you do.
Yeah, always, to Ottawa, which is kind of surprised my parents allowed me to. Yeah,
it's actually like further than a lot of them seem to go, actually.
Yeah, I mean, hear about the ones that are like, go to Mexico, go to Cuba.
Which seems so cool. Like the furthest a youth group and I went to, we went to a Soyuz. And I was like, wow, we're really going far this time.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Like, we're getting on a bus, guys.
Yeah.
This is serious.
We got a fundraise for this trip to Soyuz. Yeah. So yeah, when we were there, I took videos on my shitty little Canon camera, and I uploaded them to YouTube for all of everybody in the youth group to watch and to send to other youth leaders and stuff. And I had a video, I don't know if it's still up or not. I can't even remember if it is or if I've privated it.
We can only hope.
Yeah, and it kind of blew up. It was at the National War Museum, and my youth leader fell on a kid's head wall running. I know, but the funny thing is, I just uploaded it for like the sake of like everybody having the memory of it, right? Mm-hmm. But here are all of these bro dudes getting on there, hardcore dudes, being like, that's not a real wall run because it's a slanted wall. If you're wall running, you're like only on a straight wall that's up and down, like all
my
this
God.
Stuff. It was ridiculous. But at the same time, I was like, oh my gosh, you can get people from all over the world to
watch your videos and stuff. And so mm-hmm. I started making videos as well. I think I was, God, how old was I? I think in grade 9 I started doing it. And I actually like accumulated a couple thousand subscribers, which was really weird. Yeah, which at the time was like crazy.
Yeah,
it was really hard to get subscribers back mm-hmm. then. Like I said, this is when Smosh had 20,000 subscribers. This is Vlogbrothers. Who else was on there? Like,
I think at that time, I think it was like Ray William Johnson was like the most subscribed to person like during that era.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He was a little bit later. I remember watching him when I was in like grade 10, 11, 12. Mm-hmm. And he kind of came on out of nowhere as well, where he would take, 20 videos, put them into a 4-minute video, and then mm-hmm. it was like America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah. It was almost like a YouTube version of what Tosh.0 became.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a really different time. And even though there was all of this good on YouTube, mm-hmm. Alex and I are going to go into the bad as well. And like what we were introduced to because we were on YouTube so young and nobody really mm-hmm. knew what was going on there and all of this kind of stuff. So who did you end up following early on in your YouTube years?
Unfortunately, one of the first ever like YouTubers I clinged on to was Shane Dawson.
Yeah, controversial, still controversial.
Yeah, cue the groans. Like the, oh no.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was very much one of those young kids that leached on very, very early on in his career. Like, I remember even like his videos prior to the Fred is Dead video, mm-hmm. which really blew him up.
Yeah.
So even when I was a little kid, I'd be like, I knew Shane Dawson before Shane Dawson was cool.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, that's not a brag.
No, it shouldn't be, but
it
like,
really it, shouldn't be.
No, I get it as a kid perspective though. You could be mm-hmm. like, oh, I knew who he was a year ago. Like, mm-hmm. come on, I'm just the coolest. But yeah, I totally understand. And like, I know you were talking about earlier, before we started recording, a particular video that you saw.
It kind of ties into even that secretive feeling where it's like my friends and I, we would be like, oh my gosh, we're gonna go watch a Shane Dawson video. And even though we didn't want to admit to ourselves it's inappropriate, mm-hmm. it would kind of be hid behind folds. Like he talks about like being Christian, good values, and like is so close with his mom, so it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I just remember there was a specific video that I was watching. I didn't have like any headphones on. So my mother could overhear what I was watching.
Yeah.
And it was one of his Degrassi parody videos.
Parodies back then were all the rage. Everybody did them.
Yeah. Of course. You find a man who puts on a wig and like a horrible application of lipstick and it's comedic gold.
Yeah.
Whereas the Netflix special.
Yeah.
But specifically that video, there was comments he made that I will not repeat. Mm-hmm. And there was one of the Fine Brothers who, if people don't remember the Fine Brothers, they were the creators of like a bunch of the React channels where it was like elders react, kids react, teens react, very early on. And they would be in Shane's videos all the time, which I'm sure they really regret now. But one of the Fine Brothers was in blackface and was making a very inappropriate joke about Asperger's. And my mother overheard this and she was like, what are you watching?
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's like a Shane Dawson video. It's internet. And she's like, I need you to turn that off because that's not okay.
Yeah.
And so, again, that probably should have triggered my childlike brain to be like, this isn't okay. I should probably stop watching. But, it becomes that secretive thing where you and your friends who are like, wow, this person is so edgy and so cool. Not cool, but in a 9-year-old brain, you're like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
But it just became that kind of secretive thing where you and, my friend and I, we would like sit in our basements and just listen on our little crappy earphones. It's like, we're gonna watch the Shane Dawson video, don't tell anybody, and religiously keep up with his vlogs, which is like just as bad.
I remember the vlogs more than his actual videos. Mm-hmm. I think I was more into the vlogs because they weren't as inappropriate.
Yeah.
Because I didn't find Shanae that funny. Mm-hmm. And like all of this, I don't know, this like really crude humor and like toilet humor, yeah, that kind of stuff. I've always got really grossed out by it. I don't know if someone's like, oh, I just puked, and then like he would do like probably like so I just puked and then I ate it again because I was so hungry.
Like, there's like so many vomit jokes. The amount of special effects vomit they use in their videos. Trigger warning, if any mention of vomit makes you sick, and maybe you want to skip this part. But the amount of times that there was vomit and like vomit talks, vomit props, it was just crude for the sake of being crude and gross for being gross. And
nasty. I know. Nasty. Yeah. And I remember the first Shane Dawson video I watched because
let's go into this.
I know. If my dad especially would have known that I saw this, he would have freaked out. He would have just taken the computer away and tossed it out the window.
Yeah.
So I can't even remember what the video was called. I'm sure if I really looked for it, I probably could find it because it's the internet. Everything's on the internet forever, even if it gets deleted, right?
Totally.
So I want to say it was like him and Shanae. So he would like jump between the two.
Yes.
And there was like a box. And I think it was Shanae was pulling stuff out of the box. And like it was a couple like really random, because like back then like quote unquote random humor was really big as well, where like it could literally be someone making a video being like, oh, and then like I'm not kidding, making a funny noise and then going like right in front of the camera and going like, and then it would jump to another cut of them being like, you know what I'm thinking? It's that we just need to be a lot more funny today, and they would just do the stupidest stuff.
Yeah.
Hi, hello, my name is Mitchell Davis. Sorry. I got triggered into that one.
Oh my god, Mitchell Davis.
Anyways, back to Shane Dawson. So he was pulling this stuff out of the box and being like, and we have this, and we have this. And then, what about this 10-inch double-ended dildo? And I was horrified, because first off, like, I don't think I'd actually seen a dildo before.
Yeah.
Second off, I was, oh my god, like, I am toast. I am never getting the computer rights back again. Oh my god. And
immediately have to download a virus to delete the entire computer history. It re-downloads LimeWire to destroy the
computer history. So at that point I knew I can't watch this at home.
Yeah.
Which makes it even funnier that my friends and I would watch it at school.
Yeah,
right? There was no, like, content, like, blockers or anything. I think the only websites that were blocked at school were, like, Nexopia.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, kind of makes sense. Nexopia was much more inappropriate Facebook, I guess.
Right.
Anyways, so yeah, I remember watching that video and just freaking out. But like I said, I more so got into his vlogs and he was really good friends with, oh my gosh,
Shauna
Olga, Olga K. She was like a acrobat, or she was from Russia. Yeah,
yes.
I don't know what she's up to now.
I think she's still kind of just doing acrobatics.
Probably, yeah. And why am I forgetting her name? Oh my gosh, she ended up making Maker Studios with Shay Carl. Lisa Nova.
Lisa Nova. Name.
Yeah. And she was huge as well. And again, like, she disappeared off the face of the earth after Maker Studios.
Mm-hmm.
They sold it to Disney. Mm-hmm. All of these different things. There's, my mind is like, encyclopedia.
All those files that you thought you burned, it's just ripped right open again.
Oh, they're still there. So it was interesting because with, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of these creators would do these horrible videos and then say, I'm a Christian, I'm saving myself for marriage, and in my mind I was like, so everything that they're doing is okay because they're Christian. And of course now we know you can be the shittiest human on planet earth, and I mean, we see it all the time with like true crime and actual like bad, horrible things that happen. People go to jail and they're like, but I found God.
Yeah.
So you should let me go.
Really? And it's just like, I don't think it works like that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And it's just really unfortunate that we grew up like this in a lot of ways. Like, of course, now we know how wrong and awful and inappropriate everything was. But at the time, we took that in and made it into parts of our everyday lives.
Right. It almost feels like And whether it was intentional or not, these people taught a generation of kids how to enable horrible behavior in just, I don't know the right word for it, but I don't want to, I feel like the word grooming is far too powerful to say that, but it almost resembles that way of like teaching young kids to behave and just accept behaviors of adults who should know better.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we were teenagers. I don't know. I think Shane, I think he's about 5 years older than me. So if I was watching his videos at like 14, 15, he was 19, 20. He should have known better.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, even at those times, and I've talked about it with a lot of friends, how embedded racism was in just everyday humor. And it shouldn't have been, and how awful, how awful and inappropriate it was. And I even remember, and like I've talked about this, not on the podcast before, but with a lot of people. I remember, I think I was in grade 10 or 11, and I decided the 30th of October that I wanted to dress up for Halloween. So
yeah.
What did my parents have in the house? They had a Mexican blanket.
Oh, no.
And a sombrero.
Oh, no.
So that's what I wore to school the next day.
Yeah.
There were four other kids dressed as quote-unquote Mexicans that day.
Oh, no.
I know. And the thing is, all of the teachers thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I got stopped so many times to like, oh my gosh, your costume, ha ha ha. But like, culture is not a costume.
Exactly.
Oh, and it just makes me sick thinking about it. And I talked to a friend more recently about this. She's like, oh no, I did it once for a party too, and I feel awful about it. And it's terrible, but that's just how it was back then. And I'm not excusing my behavior at all.
Yeah.
Because like I just said, I still feel really awful about it. And I wish I had never done it. But that's just how it was back then, unfortunately.
Yeah, where it was just like, it wasn't a discussion that was ever taken seriously, and if people did bring it up, it was brushed off so quickly.
Yeah.
Just so people could enable their own guilt.
Yeah,
and absolutely. It's like, we should have been able to have people counteract those feelings and those actions without being shoved down. When it's like, no, we should have been told, like, maybe don't do that. Don't dress like that. Don't say that because, you know, culture is not a costume.
Yeah.
But again, when you have such an oppressive voice hanging over everybody, it's just, it's hard to find that counterbalance of people trying to help, if that kind of makes sense.
It does. It does. And I'm just also having flashbacks to, like, other creators that I watched at the time. And I don't know if you remember SMP Films, Mr. Safety.
Yes,
he came out with like the Mean Kitty song.
Yes.
Yeah. So he also collabed with a man with Down syndrome whose channel was called The R Slang Policeman.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the comments on those videos that he would put out, because like they were funny. Like there were parts of them that I do remember were being funny. Like this man with Down syndrome who, he did know what he was doing. Like, he knew, but of course, like, a lot of the jokes were taking too far and everything. But, like, there were so many videos of him saying, like, I know what I'm doing. I like making videos. I want to do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But just calling himself that, like, it's just so, so awful. But, all of his comments would just be people being like, I don't think he should be doing this. Why is he calling himself that? It would be like a 50-50 split of people saying, this is the funniest thing ever. And then the other people saying, well, this is awful. And at the time, of course, I was like 14. It like
right
over my head.
Totally.
I did not understand.
No thoughts, head empty. I'm 14 and sad.
Right. Exactly. And there was a lot of other creators that I think both of us kind of got into at the time. So who else were you watching?
Who else was watching? It was very much the early era of like Jenna Marbles, which I think we'll talk more in like a positive light.
Yeah.
Obviously she has her mistakes that we'll probably touch on.
But yeah.
I feel like she was a nice kind of counterbalance of a lot of like growth and positivity and like a nice mixture of internet humor, but also a hair of intelligence where there's a little bit of awareness of life and people.
Yes.
Which a lot of our early content creators, which we know very well, did not seem to understand that.
Yeah.
People in life. So yeah, very much like Jenna Marbles. There's probably more so in the 2011, like 2010 to like 2013, mm-hmm. is when I started to get into the British YouTubers.
Oh yeah, they were popping off.
I loved the British YouTubers. Yep. They were so fun. I was watching every Zoella video, trust. I was clicked in. Like, I also loved a lot of the Tyler Oakleys. But yeah. I feel like a lot of the ones I really also loved were the Dan and Phils. And yeah,
I remember, like, Twitter talking with Dan and Phil back in the day, like...
Really?
Yeah, like, a long time ago. Gosh. And, like, a lot of them would go onto Vlog TV and live stream. And a lot of them wouldn't even announce that they were going onto it. So it would be literally you and, like, four other people with whoever it was. And so back then it was a lot of, like, the Vlogbrothers and so John and Hank Green. Mm-hmm. And then I remember Dan and Phil... Tyler Oakley would go on to, like, it was just a thing that everybody was doing. Like, it was live streaming before live streaming was, like, very popular and you could monetize it and all of that kind of stuff, too. But I did have, like, I did actually talk about this in a previous podcast, I'm pretty sure. I had a really scary experience on Vlog TV once where I decided to go live. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it was, like, my first time ever going live. And I started having some people come into the room. And I wasn't doing anything, like, inappropriate or anything. Mm-hmm. I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I want to say it was Vlog TV that Amanda Todd was on.
Yeah.
That, I mean, if you don't know the Amanda Todd case, definitely go look into it. Mm-hmm. She was basically groomed and harassed by a guy in, like, Norway, I'm pretty sure. And then she did end up ending her life over everything that was happening to her.
Mm-hmm. If you want to look into it, it's a very tragic story. So
yeah.
Trigger warning for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's worth looking
into. It's worth looking into just so you can kind of understand, like, how far some of this stuff can go. So yeah, I was just on live. I had some people coming in and I had a person, I'm assuming it was a man because I don't think a woman would have done this, but
True.
You never know, right? So
who else would get up to this kind of nonsense?
Yeah, so I had someone, you could private message people. And so I got a private message from this person who was in the room. I wasn't even, like, doing anything. I think I just had music playing and I was just, like, typing on my computer. It was so innocent, like, nothing bad. And I can't remember exactly what this person said to me, and it creeped me out, and I was just like, oh no. So I blocked them from the room. 10 seconds later, they popped back in, and they said, you think you can get rid of me that easy, or you can't get rid of me that easy? And I logged out of Vlog TV. I, like, slammed my laptop closed. I don't think I went on my computer for, like, 2 days because I was so terrified.
Yeah.
It was really scary. So, like, that was definitely one of my first, oh my God, like, all of this stuff does actually happen.
Yeah. It's not just random screens. People can talk to you and interact with you and find you.
The internet safety, like, we always would talk about it, like, just don't give out your address, use a fake name, blah blah blah. And even if you did, it wasn't that hard to find IP addresses. It wasn't that hard to hack accounts back then. Like, there was not this extra level of protection with websites and all of that. Yeah. And
especially even during that time, because when we're 13, 14, and, like, I think around that era, I was probably not even, I think I'm still 12, 13 in that era, where it's like, you don't really have that much of a filter even when you're on Facebook and stuff like that. So even when you're trying to be private, but you're still giving out, like, your entire life.
Yes.
Essentially, no secrets are hidden. I'm posting about every little thing.
Yeah.
But you're still trying to be like, but I'm not giving out, like, my address. But it's like, they can find you. It's
absolutely
very easy.
Yeah. I do remember a lot of, like, positive influences that I have. I mean, I've had throughout the years and I still keep up with. Obviously, I've talked about Hank and John a lot. This was a long time ago. So back in 2007, they did a project called Brotherhood 2.0.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
I remember
so
that.
It was a full year, 365 days, where they did not textually communicate at all. And they had to make videos back and forth to each other. And all the videos are still up. You can go watch them. I made sure it was still a thing you could go and see. And it is. It's in a playlist on their channel, so you can go watch that. It is worth it. And that's when John had only, like, Looking for Alaska out. I think he was writing either Abundance of Catherines or Paper Towns. I can't remember off the top of my head. And then, of course, The Fault in Our Stars came out. And that changed every girl in 2014.
Yeah, we remember the same.
Yeah, or whatever year it came out. I can't remember. Something like that. And through Hank and John, I found the Nerdfighter community, which is still a very active community. I joined the adult Nerdfighter groups on Facebook many, many years ago, and I am still an active member of it, kind of. Not as much. There's also, like, Lady Fighteria and, like, all of these, like, spin-off groups that I've been a part of for a really, really long time. And for the most part, it's all been a pretty positive experience. It's very nice to be able to, like, have somewhere to go where people are very like-minded, right?
Totally.
And I was really into the daily vlogs. I really love daily vlogs. Yeah. So I was very into Shay Carl and then Charles Trippy, which, I mean, Shay has become a more of, like, a controversial subject over the years, as he had a pretty huge scandal. I don't know what year it was, but essentially he was talking to, like, a cam girl on some type of, like, I don't know if it was Ashley Madison or something, but
I can't remember.
But essentially the girl ended up calling him out because he was being very aggressive. I don't know if he ended up, like, sleeping with other women. I can't remember that far into it, but it was still pretty, it was pretty bad because, again, he came from a Mormon family, and he, after everything came out as an alcoholic, and I even remember videos of him saying, oh, we don't drink, we don't do anything like this, and there was another YouTuber at the time, he talked, well, Shay talked about this in another, in some interview that I watched, that he was at someone's house for some type of party, and it was like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, and Shay started pouring himself a, like, rum and coke.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was Kasim G, if you remember him.
I do remember Kasim G.
Yeah, he went on to actually be in, like, actual movies, which is kind of cool. Yeah, I don't know what he's up to now. But
I think he predominantly, like, looks into, like, Bigfoot mysteries.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I think that's what he's kind of up to now.
Well, whatever. Whatever floats your boat is totally fine. Right. And Kasim said to Shay, like, do you need to do that? Or, like, why are you drinking so early? Something like that. It was just, like, it was pretty eye-opening, I guess, that we really only see one side of people that they're putting on camera. And there's a lot of, like, other controversies with Shay and his family and all of that as well. But with Charles Trippy, he was interesting as well because he... so funny to talk about. He... his first fiancé was named Allie.
Oh, okay.
His first wife was named Allie. And then his second wife was named Allie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very interesting. He is a member of We the Kings. I think he came on into that band in, like, 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
He's the bassist. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I really liked watching him too, but it was also very interesting watching him go from dating Allie Speed, who now does a lot of streaming, I believe, to marrying Allie Speed, to, you could kind of tell something was not really right with them. He also had brain cancer.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, he had brain cancer, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was because I remember, like, videos of his, like, head all wrapped up. Like,
pretty
crazy. Okay. So he documented all of that, which, like, I commend him for. That's really, really amazing. And then to a divorce, and I, like, could not really handle it as a kid because, like, it's that parasocial relationship. And at that time, I was probably, like, 20, 21 when he and Allie Speed divorced. And I just remember feeling so, like, heartbroken.
Yeah.
Like, you know when people say, like, in comments and stuff, if so-and-so break up, then love isn't real. That was, like, all of the comments.
Totally.
Were being like, well, Allie and Charles broke up, so love isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
And even just thinking back to Shay with his scandal and stuff, so his wife stayed with him.
Yeah.
They have 5 kids together.
Mm-hmm.
And people still, I did a little bit of research before, and there is a Shay Carl, like, snark subreddit, mm-hmm. and people all the time are like, oh, I just wish Colette would have left him. She would be doing so much better.
Yeah.
And then there's the other people who are saying, oh, it's so nice to see them together. Like, there's no middle ground.
Yeah.
It's so terrible. So I was very, very attached to those channels. I also was really into the Five Awesome channels.
Yes, you mentioned this. And that was, again, like, channels that, like, I used to watch all the time, but, like, fully forgot about as yes. soon as I moved on to other people.
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh, I used to, like, religiously watch, like, Five Awesome Girls and, like, Five Awesome yes. Gays. Like, again, yeah. I should have known what I was going to admit to myself later on because I was so into those yeah. specifically. But yeah, oh my gosh, I was obsessed with those guys too.
Right, yeah. So I watched, the girls started it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been Lauren Fairweather, Christina Horner, who also had the Parcel Tones, like the Wizard Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast is going into a lot of directions. I wasn't sure it was going to go into. It also had Kaylee Hyde and Haley G. Hoover. So Haley G. Hoover I'll bring up in a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the guys, like, it was very popular YouTuber. Well, it really got popular because it was Charlie Is So Cool, like, and Nairmon, yes. Alex Day,
mm-hmm.
along with other people. So there was Alan, who was Fall of Autumn Distro. There was Johnny Durham. And, oh, I'm forgetting the last person. Anyways, there was a lot of people. And then, yes, the Five Awesome Gays as well. And they were very fun videos. I wouldn't say mm-hmm. that a lot of their videos were as controversial.
Yeah.
And then as time went on with them, they would do collabs and everything like that yes. too. And it was like the best day when, like, oh my God, the guys and the girls are collabing, which I'll bring up again in a little bit here. So
it's like, trust, we will be going down that rabbit hole.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of this stuff really, really was just like what I looked forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it's Wednesday. Who's posting on Wednesdays? Mm-hmm. I get to watch so-and-so's video today. And like, I was a busy kid. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I don't even know how I lived, like, with how busy I was. I often got, like, so much homework at school. I don't know, like, if everybody had this and going to school from, like, or high school from, like, 2006 to 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I got, like, insane amounts of homework.
Yeah.
I know a lot of teachers don't really do that anymore, so it's very mm-hmm. shocking to me that, yeah, people say that they only have, like, half an hour. Their kids have half an hour of homework, and I'm like,
it's funny you mentioned that. Like, side note on my end for yeah. that was, like, I hated having homework so much because, like, whenever I would go home, I'd be like, it's me time. Mm-hmm. I have, like, one, I was, like, always practicing for singing because, like, I used to yes. take sing lessons and I was, like, a performer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd always want to practice that. But I'm also, like, I just want to, like, watch my shows and I want to catch up on YouTube and all yes. that kind of stuff. So, like, in school, like, I would pray and hope that I did not have any friends in my class because then it would force me to do all of my work as yes. fast as possible.
Yeah.
And then break periods, I would get all my homework and everything done.
Mm-hmm.
So then by the time I go home, I'm like, I have no homework because it would drive me crazy if I had to take homework home.
Yeah.
So that was always my kind of stuff where it's like, I prioritized YouTube.
Right. No, I definitely feel that. And again, like, I was just so busy. My school, it doesn't actually run like this anymore, but it ran on what was called the Copernican system.
Mm.
So you had, oh my gosh, like I'm trying to remember if it was, we didn't have semesters. We had like a half of a year with one course.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was very crazy. So we would have, or quarters, it ran into quarters. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have like three or four classes and some of them would be double block every day.
Oh,
so you would have like two math lessons in one day. So you would probably get double the homework. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So I would get so much homework because of that.
Yeah.
I figure skated. So mm. I was at the rink all the time. I also was very involved with my youth group.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like did not really have much of a social life because I was just so busy all the time.
Yeah.
And so it was like an escape to watch YouTube at the end of the
yes,
day.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's like, I feel like that'll be kind of the through line throughout this entire podcast is like, I feel like the reason why so many people fall into YouTube and like fall in love with these YouTubers essentially in different communities
mm-hmm.
is yearning for that sense of community.
Yes.
And that social life that a lot of times we just don't have, especially
no.
if you're like an awkward kid or you're incredibly busy like you are. Yeah. Then it's like, how do I interact with people and feel a sense of community when I really have no access to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So do you remember like the first big scandal that you endured?
Ooh, there's definitely a few. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's, if I can say two.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was one that wasn't like as like horrible scandalous, but it was, I don't know if you remember Grace Helbig when she was part of My Damn Channel.
Yes.
And when she tried to separate from her, from My Damn Channel, yeah. And they were like not giving her her fair cut.
Yeah.
And everything around that. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first ones where I was like, so these YouTube channels can be very like businesses and yes. They can be treating
people unfairly. Then there was it was called a multi-channel network.
Yes.
And so essentially what would happen is these companies essentially would reach out to you and say, we'll advertise for you. Mm-hmm. We will like post your videos for you. We'll mm-hmm. do keyword tags for you. We will do all of this stuff for you. You just have to sign on with us. Mm-hmm. And essentially what would happen is that meant that those networks would steal your money,
yeah.
essentially, like most of your money, and own all of the stuff that you would post.
Yep.
So it was just disgusting. So yeah, what happened with Grace is she decided to separate and they wouldn't let her have basically her channel.
Yeah.
It was bad. So then she went on to make her own Grace Helbig channel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really rough because she had to basically rebuild. And I even remember hanging out with a friend once and he was like, wonder what Grace Helbig's up to today. And I was like, she's still making videos just yeah. under Grace Helbig. Because like yeah. a lot of people did not know that she just mm-hmm. moved on to her own channel. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure she couldn't even make an announcement about what had happened
yeah.
on the My Damn Channel page or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
I feel like it came from a lot of other YouTubers sticking up for her and being like, mm-hmm. this has either happened to me or multi-channel networks reach out to me and like this situation almost happened to me. These yeah. are very seedy, what happened to Grace. And so I feel like it took a lot of other YouTubers that were at the ready to really support her, which was really nice and a nice mm-hmm. change of pace. Mm-hmm. Really trying to encourage people to be like, no, Grace is, go support Grace.
Yeah, and she really skyrocketed after that. She came with a three package with Hannah Hart and Mamrie.
Yes.
Mamrie Hart was her last name, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Mamrie they were Hart. Both Hart, but they were not related. Right. I had to think about that for a second. It's been a while. So, yeah, no, she really, really did well after all of that. So what was the other scandal that you remember?
Unfortunately, it does go back to Shane Dawson.
Yep.
Always seems to lead back to that guy.
Yes.
The first one I ever really remember is the first time he ever made a quote-unquote apology for blackface and racism, mm-hmm. which he has now retracted that as he said that was a horrible apology. And mm-hmm. I agree. It was yeah. not an apology.
I don't even remember it, in all honesty. Yeah.
I rewatched it recently in preparation for this podcast.
Yes.
And also to set the morbid curiosity of my brain.
Yes.
It really was not an apology. Mm-hmm. He did single out a lot of creators and even just regular people on the internet who were calling out his behavior. Mm-hmm. And one of those people was Chesica Lee. She's an incredible, she's one of the, I feel like her like claim to fame, if you will, was she was one of the first people that did like What White Girls Say or something like that.
Okay.
Where it's like you put on a blonde wig.
Yeah.
That was very popular in like the Vine era as well.
Yes.
Right? But she's a really great creator. Like I love her podcast as well. Mm-hmm. Like she's really fun on Instagram and TikTok. She's really great.
I might know if I saw her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you definitely okay. would. It's like you've been on the internet long, you'll know who she is.
Yes.
But she's one of the few people that I feel like actually called out his behavior early mm-hmm. on. And he, one, name dropped her and she reached out to him privately and like, in the private messages that were later released, he was very much like trying to be like, I'm not racist, but and it is like, okay. And she blatantly asked him, like, please do not name me. I don't need your fans coming after me. He does name her. And then when she's like, I told you not to name me, can you please go back and edit that out? He was like, oh, but it's already published and I don't really want to go do that. And she did. She got attacked from death threats from Shane Dawson fans. But to go more so on the apology, it was, again, not acknowledging any of the faults, trying to enable behavior. And again, whether it was sign of the times, but people used to rise it up and be like, this is the great apology. Like, this is what you say when claims of racism are thrown at you. But it's like, no, this is just somebody saying, I'm sorry if you were offended, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I'm making lots of money. Yeah. And
he didn't care.
He didn't care.
No.
It was just very blatant.
He was just trying to save face. And unfortunately.
And unfortunately, it was a painted on face that he was trying to save.
Yeah. It's so wild to me that there's so many people out there that don't know about Sinead and all of that. If you really want to go look into it and just to understand what we're talking about, I do recommend just going and understanding that that is what we were exposed to as teenagers, as children. You're 5 years younger than me, so that's the part that like really gets me, is like I was watching this and being like so enamored by it, and you were like really young watching it. So
it's like I wasn't even at double digits and I was religiously watching like these kind of content creators.
Yes.
Not good.
No, exactly. But again, like not really your fault either. So I remember some of the bigger scandals that came up when I was in my later teens, early 20s. And the one in particular was a singer who dated, who I previously mentioned, Haley G. Hoover, who was one of the Five Awesome Girls. His name was Mike Lombardo, and he actually went to jail for child sexual abuse materials, which is what I'll just say, like, child porn is called now.
Yeah.
Just in case you didn't know the term. And, yeah, that was in, I believe he was, like, taken into custody in, like, 2012. But he was talking to teenagers, very sexual conversations. And, yeah, some of them were leaked. You can go and search this, that there is a lot of different articles written about this. And it does go into a bit of a deeper topic of, that is not the only scandal like that that happened. So later on, I believe it was 2014, Sam Pepper. So if you've ever heard the name Sam Pepper, it's probably not for a good reason. I don't exactly remember where he got his roots from, but this was back when, quote, prank channels were very popular.
Yeah, like very boyfriend versus girlfriend.
Yeah.
Those kind of like.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Jen and Jesse made videos on boyfriend versus girlfriend for a long time. Mm-hmm. They were actually daily vloggers as well. I did watch them a little bit, and they split up because of the pressure of the daily vlogs, which was very crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, just so many memories flooding back to me about all of that. Anyways, so Sam Pepper made quite a few very inappropriate, quote, prank videos. The one that really, well, there are two that really bothered me. The first one was he and a bunch of people basically ambushed a friend of theirs, took him to a rooftop with this guy's best friend, and pretended to shoot him in the head. And he said something in the video that was, he's all I have to live for, or something like that. Yeah. Which I was bawling my eyes out watching it, and it still makes me really sad to this day. Because then they said, oh, it's a prank, it's a prank. And this guy, you could tell he's in fight or flight. Like, he's ready to, something bad was going to happen. So there was that one. And then the other one was, I can't remember what the video was called, but essentially he had a fake arm.
Yeah.
And he touched women's butts with it, like underskirts, dresses, all of that kind of stuff. And I have a feeling that he probably only put on the reactions of the women who were uncomfortable but like laughed it off.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there had to be some women who probably, you know,
I'm sure
told him off for it, and he didn't include that in the video. So there was those. So then people started coming forward with their experiences with Sam and realizing that, oh my God, this really popular guy has been sexually abusing multiple women. There was a lot of people that came forward about it.
Like, it wasn't just a one-off funny prank video. It's like, this is a pattern of behavior that has gone unchecked.
Yes, exactly. So more and more people started getting outed, essentially. So earlier, I also mentioned Alex Day, who went by Nariman, and he was at the peak of his career.
Yeah.
He was best friends with Charlie Sokulik, who still makes videos. Charlie went kind of missing for a little while and came out as trans, and she's doing very, very good now, and it's just so nice it's so nice to see, and Charlie does a lot of live streaming and stuff now, so.
Also, I know Charlie has, like, a science book out, and it's actually a very good book, so I recommend, if you want to go support a very cool trans woman, go check out Charlie's book.
She made a lot of really cool science videos for years, but unfortunately that was pre-transition, so she has taken a lot of that off of the internet, which is completely their decision and 100% fine. Some other people were, like, people in the Wizard Rock community. So Alex Carpenter, a big one was Luke Connard, who, oh my gosh, he was a very awful person. He dated someone who he was in a band with, and essentially, just out of respect for her, I don't want to get too far into it because it's been so long. It's been probably about 10 years since that, but he stole money from her, and then we found out that he too was, like, sexually abusing these women, and lots of other people came forward about it. And, like, Ed Bland, who was really part of the British YouTuber community, and there was a lot more people. Honestly, if you go on and you search YouTuber sexual abuse scandal, I think that's what I looked for. There is, like, Tumblrs just full of links of stuff that you can go. Unfortunately and understandably, a lot of it is taken down now because people just wanted to move on with their lives.
Yeah.
So I did try to go and find a little bit more information about stuff, but the links just weren't there anymore. But a lot of it is embedded in my head forever.
Yes.
It actually sent me into a spiral.
Yeah.
With, like, previous experiences that I had had, and seeing all of these women that I loved on YouTube coming out against some of these people and more. And I just could not understand how these people that I worshipped and I loved, that I bought their CDs. Oh, another one was Tom Milsom. And he met a girl at VidCon, and unfortunately it ended really, really horribly between them, and he just was not a good person. I had his CD. I had Nariman merch. I had, like, all of his stuff, and I was so taken aback by all of it. And I just remember, like, telling friends, and, like, they didn't quite understand it.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't been, you know, so enamored and into this community. Mm-hmm. But it really tore up a lot of communities. Like, it really tore up, like, the Nerdfighter communities, and it tore up a lot of the that realm of, like, the British YouTubers, and it tore apart the Wizard Rock communities, and oh my gosh, it was just so much going on. It took me a long time to get over, and, like, it's not triggering for me anymore, I would say, but for a long time, like, even just seeing some of these people's names, I would just get, like, the worst feeling in the pit of my stomach, of knowing that they did such horrible things.
It's like this. And again, it is hard to describe these feelings to people, where it's like, not only are you, I guess, triggered essentially by these actions, and it makes you kind of spiral and think internally of, like, your own experiences. And so you're kind of dealing with that emotion, then also grieving the loss of community, the loss of false idols. And it's just a lot to take in a lot of the times, where it's like, you're kind of losing and grieving all these things, and the loss of, like, a parasocial relationship, essentially, and feeling the worst effects of it. And a lot of people that haven't gone through that, with, like, specifically people on the internet, a lot of people just don't understand that grieving process.
No, exactly. It's just, like, think about your favorite. Who did you have on your wall growing up? Who was on your wall? I mean, I took out, like, the CD inserts of my YouTubers' CDs and put them on the wall. But, like, otherwise I had like posters of like the Harry Potter cast and stuff. If mm-hmm. Daniel Radcliffe would have died at age 20, I would have been right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just imagine that it is someone you love so much growing up as a child. Like say, mm-hmm. I don't know, if you're a little bit older than me, like Leonardo DiCaprio, or if you're mm-hmm. my age, Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Like all of this kind of stuff. Like you bet your ass, like if you were in the thick of it and these people mm-hmm. came out with all of this horrible stuff, mm-hmm. you would have been absolutely just devastated as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you thought I was distraught when Zayn left One Direction, imagine how worse these things were.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was the day too. Yeah. That was an interesting one.
Yeah.
Of course he didn't do any horrible things.
Of course not. But it's if you thought that was grieving, yes, imagine.
Imagine just finding out that people that you absolutely, absolutely loved mm-hmm. had done horrible, unthinkable things. So mm-hmm. what kind of effects did growing up online have on you in like the long term?
Mm. This is both an easy and a hard one yes. to answer. I feel like I had to do a lot of internal work mm-hmm. where it's like I really had to especially as I'm getting older now, mm-hmm. I'm really having to rewire my brain. How do people in real life actually speak to each other and interact?
Yes.
And just, I guess, being chronically online as a kid, mm-hmm. it both heightens your emotions to an extreme, but also desensitizes you
yes.
to an extreme at the same time. Whereas like the things that should affect me the most, racism, homophobia, mm-hmm. it almost feels like nothing because you're just so desensitized by it, because these creators and you see the verbiage online all the time where a lot of it just kind of goes over your head because you're so bombarded with it all the time.
Yeah.
But then when you're so heightened by other emotions, it just brings you up to an 11 at all times. So finding that balance of, I guess what would the right words be? But like finding balance in reality.
I was just thinking that in yeah. real life as yeah. opposed to online. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like now, if we tie in current days and stuff, I would say we're more chronically online than ever.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But I really like certain things about current online culture.
Yeah.
I find out more things from TikTok than I swear I did in school.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. This is definitely like the information era.
Yes.
Whereas like, we were part of the early internet days where everything was so new. Everybody was figuring out how to use the internet.
Like, yeah.
We were a part of the creation of memes.
Yeah. Like, and it the all. Doge. Yeah. Why do you think I got a Shiba Inu? Like, for
real. Yeah, literally. But this era of social media is full of, like, information. And mm-hmm. for both the good and the bad. But I feel like it's been more positive.
Yes.
Because even though we are, again, bombarded with a lot of the negatives of social media in mm-hmm. this era, I think it's a lot more positive than what we were going through on the internet.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I just, you know, there's people that I miss who don't really make videos anymore. Like we talked about Jenna.
Yeah. I feel like that was like many like ages demographics.
Yes.
I feel like that was a collective heartbreak to see Jenna leave the internet. Mm-hmm. Both, again, it was good for her and for her mental health, and I'll never take that away from her. And I think in the long run, it has benefited her far more than staying online, just to stay online. Mm-hmm. But if every Wednesday/Thursday, I don't miss seeing her face.
I know. There's all these things, and at the end of the day, I just want people to be happy.
Yeah.
Right? And I think people kind of forget about that too, that it is whatever content creator's choice to be happy at mm-hmm. the end of the day. And so that's a really hard thing too. Or if people are like, oh my God, my favorite creator didn't upload a video this Friday, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Like, just give them a break, right?
It's like, let them have a day.
Yeah. Why do you think this podcast that I make is not on a schedule right now?
Yeah.
Because it's more of a passion project for me. Mm-hmm. So I completely understand it that way. And then we all have lives and we can't mm-hmm. just live for the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I think it's pretty interesting how all of that.
And I definitely find that there's more, again, on the positive spin of like how social media is now, whereas like 5 years ago, I think if a content creator said, I'm taking a social media break, there'd probably be outrage from their fans. They'd be like, what's going on? Whereas now I feel like creators are a lot more comfortable being like, hey, like I need to step back. Mm-hmm. And I think because everyday people are so used to seeing what actually goes on online and how people behave online, they're like, we get it.
Yeah.
Like, we need to take social media breaks. I can only imagine that you, the person posting content on the internet,
mm-hmm.
you need a social media break too. So I feel like that's definitely a positive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And who do you watch now? Who are you still keeping up with? Who's new?
So I've kind of done a bit of a social media cleanse of like, who brings me joy? Who do I enjoy watching? And as I've gotten older, my tastes have also changed.
Mm-hmm.
I actually follow... I don't know if you'll kind of get it, but I follow a lot of like horror-based channels, and like I love the channel Dead Meat. They're so fun.
I don't know it, but I need
really?
To.
Yeah. Oh, you would like it. I think you'd like them. They're really cool.
Okay.
I love the channel Dead Meat. I love especially like a lot of queer horror reviewers. Like,
yes.
I love like the Horror Bandwagon. They're really fun channels.
Yeah.
They're more reactionary channels.
Okay. Still fun though.
Still so fun.
Yeah.
I also like, I don't know if I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but mm-hmm. I love beauty gurus and I love the beauty industry and everything around that. So there's only a select few beauty influencers I actually kind of like stuck around with over the years, but I still really enjoy it. Like, I feel like I've watched, like, do you remember Kathleen Lights?
No.
Some people might, but I still follow her.
Okay.
I still really enjoy it. She's a very, like, I feel like you could watch video after video after video of hers and never really get over it.
Okay, yeah.
Like, she's very addicting to watch.
Okay,
so cool. I've always kind of stuck around with her.
Yeah.
Who else do I really like? I had them at the top of my head. Who was it?
It's all good. Like, way back, I really liked watching, we talked about her before coming on the podcast, Ingrid Nielsen.
Yes, yeah. The OG beauty girls.
Yes, and Juicy Star, so Blair mm-hmm. and Elle, her sister. Who else was I watching?
There's also, like, Andrea's Choice. She was more, like, lifestyle.
Yes.
But she was still, was totally into her.
Yeah, there was her. I didn't really...
Bethany Moda as well.
See, and like I was a bit too old for like Bethany Moda.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I felt that like when I always thought it was really funny where she would be like, go back to school video. Like, girl, you're 21.
Yeah, literally.
Like, it doesn't work like that. Like,
do you mean taking
where?
Your little sister right? to school? Like, what are you doing?
Yes, and I do remember, like, Alicia Marie.
Yes.
And, like, they still, and Remy Ashton, like, they're still best friends.
I still enjoy them. Yes. I love them.
So they still make a lot of content on TikTok and such. I have kind of, like, fallen off of the YouTube creator train.
Mm-hmm.
But you bet your ass when Blair Fowler uploads her like once every 3 years video.
Oh, of course.
I am watching it.
Yeah.
But my YouTube recommended now is so full of just like obscure deep dives.
Yes. Oh, I love the deep dives. Like, I love like Jenny Nicholson and like Mike. Love, love them. They're so good.
I'm trying to remember the name of this other girl I've been watching, but, and then I also watch like a lot of video podcasts too.
Yeah.
I really love Two Hot Takes. I just had that on before you came in here. They pull like Reddit stories and they talk about it. It's very interesting. God, why can't I remember the name of this girl? Oh, she's so funny. I'm gonna have to put her channel in the notes of this. But oh yeah, Caitlin McKillop is really good too with her deep dives.
Ooh.
Oh, I also like watch like the Try Guys. Like,
of course,
you could never like rip those guys away from me except for Ned. Ned, you can go sit in the hole.
Ned who? I don't recall.
We don't know him.
Another person, if you like a mixture of like, if you like movie commentary, if you like deep dives, if you also like makeup, Kenny JD is really good. She's really funny.
Okay.
I love her.
Yeah. Oh, I've also gotten into Nikki and Coco. They do like a video podcast. Yeah, they're really good too.
Yeah.
I was just watching last night, they have one about Renee Rapp.
Ooh, okay.
A very good topic right now. It's called the Renee Rapp Effect. She is really fantastic. I also really enjoy Kendall Landreth and Sarah Shower's podcast.
Oh, I love
the
that
BCC
one.
Club. Yes, they're very great as well.
If you also like video podcasts as well, there's one called Keep It. Okay.
That one's really fun. That one is very pop, like, if I thought I knew pop culture, mm-hmm. watch and listen to Keep It. You know nothing about pop culture. So highly recommend that as well.
Okay, I found this girl. Her name is Nicole Raffi, I want to say her name is.
Oh,
she's
yes.
really great as well. She does amazing deep dives. And she's so funny because she prints off these giant prints and puts them on her wall of like all
yes,
the characters.
I love her.
And she's always like, yeah, the woman at CVS is probably super confused as to why yes. I keep on printing these giant pictures.
She's like,
people.
Why do I have 15 photos of Trisha Paytas on my wall? Who
yes,
knows?
Yeah. And then even though I'm not really into it anymore, I still love listening to like the YouTube drama.
Oh
yeah, yeah. Like Spill Sesh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, love her.
Yes.
Like, there's all these people that I will, you could pry them from my cold dead hands.
Truly. Truly.
So are they like the best in the sense that like they're educational? No, but I just right. like the type of like kiki drama.
Yes,
like that's what
exactly.
I really like. And
it's
then
like it's like you're not getting like emotionally drained from it, but you're still in the know of what's going on.
Yeah, and I don't have to watch like a 30-minute video to get what's going on. And then, of course, I also really love Brittany Broski.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I will say I had to take like a pause from Brittany Broski.
Yeah.
Nothing bad. Mm-hmm. I just was like, because she's so popular and everybody wants to hang out with her and she's like on everybody's channel. I was like,
yeah.
I need to only watch one little thing of Brittany Broski or yes. else I feel like I'm going to be so bombarded with her that it'll make me hate her. And I don't want that because I love Brittany Broski.
Yeah, I totally get it. I just basically listen to, well, I have her video podcast on. The Broski mm-hmm. Report is really great. Mm-hmm. And what I really like about it is she does actually dive into like educational stuff as well. She's mm-hmm. actually a very smart woman.
Love her fart history. It's always good.
Yes. So, yeah, that's kind of who I'm into these days. But is there anyone else you wanted to bring up before we end this?
It depends on, like, what sub kind of niche of yeah. internet. Another, if you are someone who likes watching reactionary, like, type of content where they watch something, reaction,
not
that
the
kind
fine
of
bros.
Stuff.
Not the fine bros.
Not the fine bros.
Like, please don't watch them.
Definitely not teens react yep. 2.0.
Yep.
Some that I really like is Zavid. He's really funny.
Okay.
I really enjoy his content. I try to support predominantly like queer creators yep. nowadays. So
I get that.
That's tend to who I gravitate towards now.
Yeah. I guess before we kind of cap this off, like what is your feeling of like short form versus long form content?
I'm very curious and excited to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Of course, like, I'm actually, like, in school for it now, so, like, I'm yeah. paying to see how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. Is there, like, any predictions from your schools? Like, what's the next big trend, or?
It is hard. You can't really predict trends. I will say there is always the 10-year cycle, so I feel like we're kind of entering that now with, mm-hmm. like, the 2010s, which I cringe to say. Yeah. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of reimagined trends.
Yes.
From like the 2012 to 2013, 2014. I guess now that 2014 is literally 10 years ago now, mm-hmm. which again will make me spiral.
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of reevaluating like trends from 2014 and bringing it back into a more modern age.
You know what I have noticed is a lot of parodies.
Yeah.
Song parodies especially.
Yes.
And it takes mm-hmm. me back to like 2009, 2010 mm-hmm. where that was. Wow, I just had one of Shane Dawson's pop in my head, and I don't like that.
Oh,
but
no.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big thing. So mm-hmm. it's definitely, I'm excited to see what happens. I mean, I just mm-hmm. I love the internet. I like being online. I
me
like
too.
All of that kind of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, like I love sitting down and going through my TikTok. But if something mm-hmm. cannot grab my attention within the first like 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
I don't really want to watch it.
Yeah,
so,
I feel that.
Yeah, but I'm also like loving the reinsurgence of Nanolan on TikTok.
Yes!
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And if you're listening to this from another country, you probably know Nanolan is either NASA Peepo or Who's That Wonderful Girl?
Who's that wonderful girl?
Yeah. That's probably all you really know. But Nanolan was something that, like, I grew up with.
I loved it.
Yeah,
it
I did
so
as
cute.
Well. So it's kind of fun seeing it come back and that it's still like really funny.
Yeah.
So I love seeing that. But yeah, I'm not really sure what's next, but I think I just, yeah, because like I'm in a lot of different, like, oh my God, my For Your page is just like a complete like clusterfuck of different things. It's like, you're probably neurodivergent if, and I'm like, don't call me out, bitch.
Like, please don't.
Yeah, all of these kinds of things. And then also learning from TikTok as well that I'm like a super hypermobile person,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff, and just like different things about women's bodies and cycles and like mm-hmm. how to advocate for yourself and all of that. And I think it's so wonderful because there's so many things I wish I knew growing up,
mm-hmm.
and there was no education about it. So mm-hmm. it is really cool that something can just stumble upon your For You page one day and you're mm-hmm. like, oh my God, wait a damn minute, excuse me.
Yeah, I will say also to bounce off of that, yeah. something I'm very interested to see is how other social media companies adapt to a TikTok era.
Yes.
So how are they, we've already kind of seen it with Instagram with like reels and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I think Snapchat is trying.
Apparently people make really good money off of Snapchat.
Yes.
And that's wild to me.
Yeah. I think it's specifically because while Snapchat is a smaller platform, the people mm-hmm. that still use it are dedicated to using it.
Yeah.
So
I'm not.
Yeah. Truly. It's just like for like the two friends that like
yes.
I still talk to, and that's about it.
So, I mean, if you're listening to this and you don't know where we're located in the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because I don't really use Snapchat, mm-hmm. but I do have friends, and that is like how to get a hold of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that. I've never right. been that into it. And I have friends in other provinces, and that is like their main forms of communication. Like I look mm-hmm. over and they're on Snapchat and I'm like, what are you doing? Like that's right. very 2012 of you to right. be on Snapchat. It was very different back then too. But mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of not great things that come from Snapchat, but yeah, yes. essentially what people are doing now is they upload to their Snapchat story, say if they're like an influencer or something,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, they get paid really good money from it. As mm-hmm. with, I mean, TikTok, if you're not in the US, there is no, I mean, they got rid mm-hmm. of the Creator Fund, I can't remember what it's called now,
yeah.
but it's only like in the US, so
mm-hmm.
you think that person on TikTok is making like a shit ton of money.
They're not.
They're not, unless they get sponsored.
Yeah.
So,
it'll be interesting to see how it kind of grows in that situation, which app will take over TikTok. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see.
Absolutely. When did you start using TikTok?
So funny enough.
Were you on Musical.ly?
I never had Musical.ly because when Musical.ly was a thing, I didn't have a phone.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. So I was a bit late to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started using TikTok probably 2019.
Okay, yeah.
But I actually stopped using TikTok in 2022.
Yeah.
So now with TikToks, it's either one's friends send to me or mm-hmm. if I'm like doing for school research,
mm-hmm.
I'm actually looking it up for that.
Yeah.
And there's always compilations on YouTube for like funny ones where I'm like, okay, yes. I'll just find the funny stuff.
It's there. Like where we used to, like I wasn't on Vine, like I had a Vine mm-hmm. account, but I didn't really like follow anyone on it.
Yeah.
But you could just go onto YouTube and say Vine compilations and you would find all of them. And every once in a while I feel the need to watch Water Malone, so I definitely look those up. So
I mean, I got a basketball game tomorrow.
Yeah. You know? All of these old terms and all of these things that, yeah, they'll just always be at the back of my head. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm pretty excited. Like I said, I love the internet, mm-hmm. even with all of the things that I brought up here. It's just being so aware of the people that we worship and follow when it's appropriate to like stick by their sides and when it isn't, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else you wanted to say?
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
And thanks for taking this weird little nostalgia trip with me.
Oh, it's so fun. I know you and I are gonna like keep talking about it.
I know we are. It's just like it's fun to have a nice little trip down memory lane with somebody who actually like remembers.
Yeah. Oh, and I remember so much more. I am sure I could write a book, honestly.
Yeah, truly. This podcast could literally be like 4 hours long.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's all we're gonna go into today. But if you guys want a part two of like weird internet shit we remember, we could probably
let us know.
Perfect. Well, again, thanks for coming on. And if you want to follow Pillow Talk Studios, we are at pillowtalk.studios on Instagram and just Pillow Talk Studios on TikTok. And I think that's everything I have for today. So yeah, have a good one, and I will talk to you guys in the next podcast. Bye!